a bank of, for, and by the developing world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Leaders of the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are wrapping up a summit today, and they've got a plan to create a new bank to fuel economic growth in the developing world. The BBC's Matt Davis is at the summit in Durban, South Africa, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, tell us about this development bank that they want to create.
Well, this is quite a big thing for the BRICS. It's going to be called, obviously, the BRICS Bank. And the idea is that it'll start funding for infrastructure projects, railroad, ports, that kind of thing. Now, we're a bit short on details because not much has been released about the absolute nitty-gritty of this whole thing. But there are questions that have arisen, like how much will each of the BRICS nations put in? And will they therefore be equal partners? There has been a figure banded around that they should each put in $10 billion. Now, that's pretty much chump change for China, but actually it's a big outlay for a smaller economy like South Africa. And also there's the issue of where will it be headquartered? Beijing, Moscow? I mean, the South Africans want it because they feel that the infrastructure projects that it'll be funding will be largely in Africa. So they think it should be headquartered in South Africa.
And I guess the implicit message here is that the World Bank is just not doing it for them.
Absolutely. I mean, they feel that basically they want another source of funding. And there is a whole feeling that at this BRICS summit that there's a sort of a coming of age. It's the bold moves to go it alone away from the dominance of the big economies of the United States and Europe. And as part of this, there's been a deal signed between China and Brazil, and it's a bilateral currency swap, which essentially enables them to trade up to $30 billion in their own currencies. So they're not subject to whatever happens to the dollar and the euro.
The BBC's Matt Davis joining us from Durban, South Africa. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, here in this country, lawyers who defend the poor in federal court say the sequester cuts could jeopardize the fairness of the criminal justice system. Adam Allington reports from St. Louis Public Radio.
Perched behind a giant desk in a downtown St. Louis office, federal public defender Lee Lawless rifles through a stack of papers to find the one telling him how much he has to cut his budget.
The total that we have to make up from salaries and other items that we have cut is just under $530,000.
Or about 10% of his entire budget, cuts which will be made up by furloughing 26 staff, including Lawless, 2 days per month. He says that will have the immediate impact of slowing the wheels of justice for people waiting for their day in court.
Defenders don't have programs that they can cut. I mean, it's just people, and defenders have an obligation to represent people who are indicted.
Catherine Blake is a U.S. district judge overseeing the federal defense program. She says federal defense attorneys don't choose the cases they'll take.
Prosecutors are bringing cases and people are being indicted. They need a lawyer.
Some federal courts have already announced that they'll stop trying criminal cases on Fridays. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.2% in Tokyo, down 1% in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 111 points to close at 14,559.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The Major League Baseball season gets underway this Sunday, and nowhere is that being met with less enthusiasm than in Miami. That's because the Marlins have traded away their top talent, which saved the owner some money, but also made him a local Grinch. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Playing for the Miami Marlins last year, Jose Reyes was one of the most productive hitters in the game.
And Reyes hits one in the air, deep to right field, at the wall, goodbye!
Now he's gone, and so are many of the fans. Danny Zuccare used to buy season tickets. This year?
No, absolutely not. There is no way in the world that I'm going to be a season ticket holder this year.
Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria promised to bankroll a competitive team if Miami taxpayers, like Zuccare, helped pay for a new stadium.
They built the team up last year and they spent a lot of money, and I give them credit for that. But then they turn around after 1 year and they dump everybody. whether it's Josh Johnson or Mark Burley or Jose Reyes.
The fans understandably felt it like it was a bit of a bait and switch.
Neil DeMoss is co-author of a book about stadium financing called Field of Schemes. He says even a bad team can make money for owner Jeffrey Loria.
He's been running a team where he's basically content to not win a whole lot of ball games and just sit back and collect revenue sharing checks from the league.
But Loria has paid for it with his popularity.
Loria certainly does have a claim to being possibly the worst owner in baseball.
We tried to reach Jeffrey Loria. Instead, questions were fielded by Marlins president David Sampson.
Jeffrey Loria is not a bad owner at all.
Sampson understands fans are upset, but baseball is also a business.
We had to cut payroll because things didn't work out on the business side or the baseball side.
He says Miami would be worse off without the stadium and Jeffrey Loria.
Unless there had been a new ballpark and an owner like Jeffrey Loria willing to put in $160 million of his own money into that ballpark, then the Marlins, unfortunately, wouldn't be in Miami. And now baseball will be here for decades and generations to come.
Another thing that will endure is the backlash. Sampson says only around 5,000 season tickets have been sold. On the upside, for fans at the new stadium, at least it won't be hard to find a good seat. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally to the UK, where a new company has popped up to help you increase visitors at funerals where low turnout is expected. It's called Rent a Mourner, and the rented mourners are touted as professional, polite, and well-dressed. They even study background information about the deceased so they can converse and maybe even reminisce with the real mourners. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.